Stang Gang Podcast time with Rich Renner as we talk Midwestern State football. Be sure you tell your friends about the podcast and be sure to make your plans to be at Memorial Stadium this weekend. 6 o'clock kickoff for Texas A&M Kingsville as the Javelinas visit Wichita Falls in Midwestern State. And there's going to be a big tailgating that's going to start at 3 o'clock. It's a blackout game at Memorial Stadium, and the Mustangs need your support now more than ever. So we'll see you out at Memorial Stadium. Last week, Midwestern State was out in Midland. Did you see Landman at all while you were out there?
Did not see Landman, but I bet you he was out there somewhere.
He might have been out there somewhere. I thought the game started pretty well for you. You're down 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, but you're certainly in the game, and you're making some plays on defense. And then the second quarter started, and really things started going downhill in more ways than one because Joe Carlson gets injured. He decides he's going to take off and run on a punt. He doesn't get the first down. They get good field position, and then things kind of start snowballing. And on top of all that, Joe got hurt on the play.
Most definitely. I thought that, obviously, defensively we needed to get better. And I felt like we matched up pretty well against them. I felt like that we had a good game plan going into the game. And, and I thought that, like I said, the first series we went 3 and out. And offense, we decided to take the ball. We won the toss for once and decided to take the ball and try to change things up on, the start of the game. And offense went 3 and out. Didn't get many yards there on that first series. And then they punted it. We punted it to them. And then, obviously, we forced them 3 and out. So we were like, okay, here we go. And then the offense went 3 and out again. And then, obviously, we kind of went back and forth a little bit until, like you said, the second quarter. And again, they're a very explosive and dangerous offense. And, obviously when they're throwing the ball all the time. And we had some situations that probably – when I say situations, I mean, where guys probably, wasn't communicating the call or the call got in late from the sideline. And then therefore, guys didn't know what coverage they were in. And so they got us on a couple plays there. And then obviously we gave up a couple deep balls that they challenged us on and what they were able to catch and do something with and move the ball down the field. So and then we had some missed tackles, that didn't set well with us as well, that they got some chunk yards. But I thought the kids fought. I thought the kids, in the first half, we just couldn't get off the field on third down. We couldn't get off the field on fourth down. They were 4 for 4 on fourth down.
That's really the difference in the game, isn't it? It was how the two teams played on third down.
And most definitely. And we weren't bad, I think it was 5 of 16 they were. On third down, or maybe it was 6 of 16, and we were 5 of 15, I think it was. So we were pretty much close on third down. The difference was they were 4 for 4 on fourth down, which there accumulates those 24 points that you talk about in the second quarter, and which obviously you can't do to a good team like, Permian Basin. So we go into halftime down 31-0, and obviously, it wasn't where we wanted to be. Obviously, we were all down in a sense of, frustrated in a sense with, obviously not getting much production from the offense. Obviously, they kept going 3 and out, wasn't really moving the ball, struggling with a little bit of protection. We'd given up 3 sacks or Longino had taken 3 sacks, I should say. And so at halftime, I kind of challenged the guys and said, hey, we can either – let this go 62-0, or we can bounce back and win the second half. And I challenged the guys in the locker room and told them that, they weren't doing anything that we hadn't seen before or hadn't experienced. And we felt like that we were better than what the score reflected as a team. And I was proud of our kids for responding and coming out in the second half. And I challenged them, to win the second half. And if you look at the score, yes, we gave up another deep ball, which, again, was a young freshman mistake playing deep halves. And he jumps the wrong guy and doesn't take the deeper of the two that were going vertical. And they find him for a touchdown. I can't remember, a 40-some-yard touchdown. But nevertheless, we had won 15-6. In the second half, far as the score wise, if you look at the box score and on defense, we created we had 2 interceptions, got our first interception of the year finally.
Yep.
Created 3 sacks. So therefore we got 3 sacks. Again, all happening in the second half, which I was like, guys, where was this in the first half? But and then we scored on defense. You know, we actually got a caused fumble that we recovered and ran back for a touchdown. So, and if we don't throw the pick on offense in the second half going in, then we probably score again. You know, so it could have been a lot closer than what the score really reflected. But I was proud of our kids and how they played in the second half.
Well, now it's time to ask the question that everybody's talking about, and that's you change quarterbacks at halftime. So was that a coach's decision? Was it brought about because of injury?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think, number one, you didn't want to get Long Geno hurt or injured being down 31-0. And obviously we're not moving the ball and doing anything, so it was a good change for Jastrup to come in and see if he could do anything with it to spark the offense or spark the team or whatever the case may be. And he did a good job, you know, facilitating. Like I said, he threw the one bad pass that he threw the pick in the end zone as we were driving. But we got some other kids. Reggie Williams came in. You know, Kenji obviously has got a hurt toe, and so we pulled him out and put Reggie in, a true freshman, and he had 70 yards rushing.
He might have been the bright spot on the night. You know, and there was a time when they'd call backs like him a water bug because that's kind of how he runs. But he's got a fun style. Do you expect him to get more playing time?
Most definitely. Most definitely. And we played some other kids like Zane Tolliver on defense at corner in the second half, and he had two big tackles over the field.
Yeah, I was going to say he made a couple of plays for
you. Yes, sir. And so I think that, you know, that's the other thing too, you know, telling the coaches and myself and reminding myself as well is, you know, we've got a lot of good players on the sideline that we travel with and that we need to give opportunities to play and give them a chance to, you know, see what they can do. And so and Reggie being one of those guys, and I was very proud of him. And then Christian would come in there as a 1-2 punch, and like I said, we were moving the ball and we were having success, and we just you know, obviously didn't get the ball in the end zone as many times as we wanted to there in the second half.
You've got first of all, there was another injury that I wanted to bring up because it's a big one, and it's at your center, Ledette. Football fans understand, but I don't know if just casual fans understand just how important the center is.
Well, the center starts the whole playoff. Without a great snap, without you know, everything. I mean, everything goes through him. You know what I mean? With him snapping it on the timing of of the snap count, and everybody, you know, guards and tackles and everybody, you know, are all off the center, off of his movement. So when he snaps the ball, and so it's, and then obviously he's got to snap it and get it back to the quarterback at the right spot or the right place, because you know, we had it, you know, Permian Basin had one of their centers, you know, he snapped it over the head of the quarterback, and they lost, you know, quite a few yards on that deal. And so he's very, very important. So he makes or breaks the play, the snapper is, and losing him to an injury is always a challenge and tough, especially since he's a second team all conference player a year ago. And he's a very good football player. He's a good leader. He's a, you know, he's a good teammate. And so losing him is definitely doesn't help our cause moving forward.
And then anytime you lose somebody on that offensive line, because those five guys have to be cohesive. They have to work together. So anytime you lose a piece of that, it's a problem.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Those guys are probably the tightest knit group on the team. The offensive line is, and they have to be, because if one guy is out of sync, then it ruins it for everybody.
Yeah, I know when John Madden wrote one of his books, he put that an offensive line is really the heart and soul of a football team. And certainly, I know at Midwestern State, when we've had good football teams, we've had good offensive lines, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
Most definitely.
You've got Texas A&M Kingsville coming in here Saturday. We mentioned all the things going on around the stadium, and the fans are looking forward to this game. And Kingsville's one of those schools in Division II. They have a great reputation, a great tradition. They're playing pretty good football this year, too.
Most definitely. They're well coached. Coach Parr's first-year head coach down there, took over from Mike Salinas, which is another great head coach that moved into the AD role. And Coach Parr has done a great job taking over. And, you know, he kept, you know, his defensive staff and brought in some offensive guys and running his offense. And it's very similar to what we do offensively. You know, they're going to throw the ball around and run it when they need to. And they're putting points up, you know, which is something we're not doing. So, obviously, we've got to find a way to put more points up than them. And we've got to continue. We've got to stop them and not give up the big plays like we did against Permian Basin.
So, what is keeping this offense from scoring more points?
You know, that's a great question. I think a lot of it is just, you know, you know, when you've got three new coaches that are trying to get on the same page, I think is one little hiccup. But also, too, you know, I mean, UT Permian Basin did a great job defensively. You know, you got to give credit to the staff
Absolutely.
Down there.
And they've got good players.
They do got good players. I mean, they're ranked 11th in the country for a reason. And then, you know, you look at, you know, there was not really a cupcake game that we played other than, you know, Eastern New Mexico. And that was a whole different animal because we couldn't stop the pitch on the triple option. But we were able to score points in that game. All right, against that defense. But when you're playing a top-ranked team like Permian Basin and Western Colorado, it is a challenge to score. And you got to be able to – but you still got to find ways to score and find ways to do that. And so having a new play caller in Kurt Bryant, which is doing a great job, but, you know, this is his first time calling plays, and he's going to make some first-year mistakes and trying to figure out adjustments and everything else. And that's just part of the growing up that you do as you gain experience throughout the season as well as years down the road.
So what do you do at quarterback this week?
Well, you know, obviously it's up for grabs, and we'll continue to see who pulls out to be the best one that to play, and that one will get the nod to start. But we've had guys, you know, with competition during fall camp, and those guys have been repping all year long, so it's not like that, you know, that these guys have not seen the field or been on the field.
And I remember you liked Sean last year.
Most definitely. Yeah, Sean was our starter last year till he broke his leg, and in game four, ironically, against Permian Basin, and that's the game he comes back in. So, if Sean's the guy, you know, I hope and pray that, you know, that he does well, whoever it is that takes the snap.
As you take a look around the conference, is there anything that kind of surprises you? Or?
Well, I think the biggest surprise was the 91-31 victory by Central Washington. You usually don't see that type of score, you know, in the Lone Star Conference or anywhere in the country. So that was kind of a big surprise. I thought Western.
I thought that was a basketball game. That was a football
that
game?
That was a football game, believe it or not. And obviously WT beating Western Oregon, I thought was a big yep. win for WT. They were 0-5 against them previously. And that was their first win against Western Oregon in school history. And so, you know, that was big. You know, obviously they played at WT, which is always a challenge for any of those Washington teams or Oregon teams that come from out west. And have to come to the Midwest to play. And so it was, you know, but other than that, I think, you know, still Angelo and Central Washington are your top, with Permian Basin as well. I think that, you know, I think Permian Basin plays Angelo this week, and that'll be a good
match. Oh, that'll
match.
Be a good one.
Yes, sir.
That'll be a good one. Is there anything you have up your sleeve? Would we see a new wrinkle against Kingsville?
I don't know if we'll see. There might be a new wrinkle or two. We're always coming out with new wrinkles and new plays and all that good stuff.
Nothing you want to divulge here
on
the podcast?
Yeah, we can't spill all the beans out here, so Pete. But you'll see it on Saturday.
We did mention the injuries. This puts you kind of in the hole in the punting position, doesn't it?
It does. It does, with Joe having a bad knee. And so we've got a new punter that will be out there with us. And so we're getting him ready this week and look forward to seeing how he does.
What's your overall evaluation of special teams this year?
You know, looking at it, I would say, I wish our punting average was a little bit better than what it is. But obviously it's around the 35 to 40 range. Our kickoff return is probably not as high as I'd like it to be, and we kind of had some mistakes in that against Permian Basin. We, you know, obviously stepped out of bounds at the 19-yard line instead of fair catching it and taking it to the 25, and so we lost a few little hidden yards there. But you know, we got one punt return for 19 yards. They punted the ball twice on Saturday, which we need to get them to punt more often.
You got 2 points out of your special teams.
And we got 2 points out of our special teams. That's right, off of a bad snap, going back to the snapper, you know, talking about that and the extra point. And our scoop guy was able to run it all the way back for 2 points. So again, you know, I don't think its special team has killed us yet like it did at Western Colorado, but it hasn't really been a huge help for us either.
Can the Reds beat the Dodgers?
Great question. With Hunter Green, you always have a chance if you're a Reds fan.
Those who don't know, Rich Renner's 99% football, 1% Cincinnati Red.
Hey, go Mustangs.
That's Rich Renner, the head football coach at Midwestern State on the Stang Gang Podcast. Tell your friends we'll see you at Memorial Stadium Saturday night when the Javelinas visit at 6 o'clock.